From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted to welcome back to John Hannam Meets the wonderful Celia Imrie. Nice.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
Lovely to see you.
We're actually in the Electric Airwave studio in London. We haven't met that much in London, have we, really?
No, rather fun, though.
Yes, very. On the Isle of Wight, we've met many times, of course.
I know.
We first met, Celia, 36 years ago.
Oh, stop, really?
We don't look any different,
not
do we?
Not at all. No, certainly not.
You've been so busy in recent years, really, and I just want to catch up a bit. You've been to America. You've done a couple of sort of TVs over there,
mm-hmm.
haven't you?
I have.
Tell me about those. One was called Legends of Tomorrow, was it?
Oh, yes. That's sort of the Canadian version of Doctor Who-ish. I think it's sort of more of a gang of people in the future world rather than just one person, but very popular, I believe. That was in Vancouver, and then the series that I do over there, which has just aired in America, season 3 of a program called Better Things. But the best news is it's suddenly come to England.
Has it?
Mm. And in fact, we're talking to each other on a Thursday, and it's on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. on BBC Two.
Is it?
Which is very good for me because I think people think that I've been on holiday for 3 years.
You play Phyllis in that, don't you?
That's right. Phyllis? Yes, Phil.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. And movie-wise, of course, one or two people have said, Celia Imrie's in the new Mamma Mia film.
I am.
You are, aren't you?
Yes, just at the beginning, though.
I bet that was fun because the first one was a mega movie, wasn't
mm.
it?
Well, I was asked to do it by the wonderful Ol Parker, who wrote both the Marigold films.
Oh, they were
so
lovely.
Exactly. So, actually, he never has to ask me twice. I said, of course.
Let's talk about the Marigold films because they were exceptional, weren't they?
Mm. Well, I don't think I've ever had such a treat of a description of a part. For a start, to go to India, which is a great love of mine, and then to be with the dames and to be directed by John Madden, the whole experience was unforgettable. Twice.
Yes. And of course, now they've done programmes about sort of famous people going out to India, haven't they?
Well, you know, when you think about it, actually, it's not a bad idea of a way to, you know, think about later years.
My daughter's been twice to India on mm-hmm. holiday in the last 18 months. She loves it.
Yes. I think yeah. you sort of love it or hate it. I can't understand people who don't love it, but, you know, the colours and the smells and the music and the smiles.
Bridget Jones' Baby.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What about that? So many years later doing number 3.
I know.
Remarkable.
And then, of course, you did the absolutely fabulous movie, didn't
mm-hmm.
you?
I did,
yeah.
Yes.
Is it nice being in these sort of movies with lots of fellow actors, famous fellow actors in a way?
Well, it is actually, because we don't necessarily see each other from one year to the next, so it is rather wonderful. And also the public's loyalty to, you know, programmes like Absolutely Fabulous. And how many years later was Bridget Jones? It was something extraordinary, like 13 or 14
yes.
years later.
Yeah.
And I thought it was wonderful, actually.
Malevolent.
Oh, gosh. You haven't seen it, have you?
I have.
Have you?
I
were you frightened?
I didn't know you were in it, you see. Mm. I think it may have been on Netflix. I was watching it, and all of a sudden, I said to my partner, Celia's in this. You were
horrible, wasn't I?
You were.
I know. I've not seen it yet, actually, but I know that I had horrible things to do.
First time I've ever shouted at you when you were on the screen, you know.
What did you shout?
Well,
leave her alone.
You weren't very nice, yes. Quite gruesome in places, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but I suppose it was quite a deliberate effort in a way for me to play something quite different.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. yeah. Did you have fun when you're playing sort of a horror thing like that? Do you have fun when you film it?
Well, you must, actually. Yeah. It's sort of essential to make sure that you do. Otherwise, it can sort of get under your skin and that's no good.
Year by the Sea was another movie, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yes. Yes. Based on the Joan Anderson books, which have an enormous following in
yeah.
America. I don't think it's been shown here in England yet.
It was set around Cape Cod, was it?
That's right,
yeah.
yes. and Out of Season, which sort of reminded me a little bit of the Isle of Wight, actually.
Oh, yes.
Because seaside places out of season, I think, have an enormous romanticism about them.
They do,
And so it's a beautiful film, actually.
Celia, America, obviously you're doing quite a bit in America. Was this a plan that you wanted to do?
Well, it was, actually, John. I mean, I didn't want to go there until my son Angus was through school and exams. But I did think a long time ago that you couldn't really be internationally well known until you'd courted America. That was my thought. I really did take a chance. I jumped on a ship, the Queen Mary II.
Did you?
Yes. And then jumped on a train and went right across America and took a chance, actually.
Wow.
Mm. So I was extremely lucky. And, you know, there's no question luck does come into this game enormously.
Mm.
And now I'm with this very talented Pamela Adlon, whose life, it's a sort of autobiographical program about her as an actress bringing up three daughters on her own. And I play her rather nosy mother who lives next door.
Wow.
But it's great fun.
I've interviewed one or two sort of soap actors that have gone off to America and been unsuccessful and come back. So in a way, as you say, it's just the luck of the draw, isn't it, really?
Completely, completely.
And, of course, you've written about four books now, haven't you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love the first one, The Happy Hoofer, wasn't it?
Well, that's all about my secrets, but you know most of them anyway.
Yeah, I do,
John,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. The only thing I found out was when you were quite ill when you were younger. That's the only thing I probably didn't know about you. But fabulous book, really, because it was so honest, Celia, and you sort of, well, that's you, isn't it, really?
Mm, I hope so. Good.
And then three novels, then.
I know. The Sail Away, the most recent novel to come out in paperback, has just come out. And then You Can Be the First to Know, that my next book is called A Nice Cup of Tea, or A Nice Cup of Tea.
Ah.
And it's out on May the 16th.
Is it?
Publication day. So you're the first to know.
Oh, well, that's nice to know. Because you've got a place in Nice, haven't you?
I have, and it's my paradise.
Is it?
Beautiful, beautiful place.
So how do you write then? Because you're busy. How do you fit in writing a novel then?
Well, I was inspired by the beauty of Nice, actually. And so I generally almost completely write there, where it's not sort of interfering with my acting work, because it's too difficult to do both at once.
Mm.
But to be inspired by the sea, I'm sure that that's why I fell in love with the Isle of Wight, actually, my first home. Because I just adore the sea. It sort of breaks my heart not to be there on the island, actually. But I felt, well, I can't be so greedy and have two places by the sea. So, but it will always be very precious in my heart, the Isle of Wight.
I want to go back to about 1974, when you played Jenny in a couple of episodes of Upstairs, Downstairs.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you have a dream at that sort of stage? That was a very early TV for you. You must have exceeded your wildest dreams, Celia, really, have you, do you think?
What, you mean now?
Well, yes. Looking forward to your career then.
It's weird, actually, John. I can't explain it. You just sort of put your head down and get on with it, really.
Yes.
And, I mean, my father was a radiologist and had a very tough and good example work ethic. He went on working way after he retired. And I think that I love my work and I sort of will take anything that comes along, more or less.
Mm.
The only trouble is that I suppose nowadays I have to face up to the fact that I probably won't play Juliet. Don't laugh too loud.
No.
But, it's weird. You just put your head down and get on with it and hope you keep going, really.
But your roles have sort of come along all the time, and as you've got older, obviously there are parts which suit you. So really, you've always been in work, haven't you?
More or less, although, we just said this morning, walking along Great Titchfield Street brought back lots of memories of when I used to do a market research job.
Gosh.
In fact, I wasn't very good at it because I spent most of the time sort of chatting to my friends on the phone, which was not allowed. But, you know, I had to be out in the street sometimes asking people about dog food and things. I wasn't mad about it, but on the other hand, I don't regret any of the things I did to keep going, you know, in between.
Hi, Chill Blades, it's Nick Frisby here saying John Hannam is a puppet.
You're listening to John Hannam meets Isle of Wight Radio's original chat show.
I think a lot of us guys fell in love with you when you were in Bergerac, of course.
Did you?
Marianne, yes.
Ooh, good.
That was your first sort of, well, you were in a lot of episodes, quite a lot of those, weren't
yes,
you? So that's
yes.
when a lot of people got to know you, I would imagine, wasn't it?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah. And then, of course, Miss Babs, which has sort of followed you around, Acorn Antiques, but it's such a nice thing to follow you around, isn't it, really?
Yes, of course, of course.
Do you still find people want to know all about that when they talk to you?
Well, they do, but it's a peculiar thing. It's people of a certain age now. I actually think I'm still 26. I'm not.
So do I.
And good. Well, that's why you look so young.
Oh.
And so, you know, I'll ask maybe a young makeup designer, you know, about Miss Babs, and she looks quizzical because she doesn't know because she's too young.
Yeah.
And also, bizarrely, they don't know Miss Babs in America. So although I'm extremely proud of her as a character and for me to have played her, I have to understand that it is of a certain age now. But, you know, it's a great thing to have done.
Dinner Ladies, and of course, Victoria Wood, there's a new book coming out, I think, isn't there, on
yes,
Victoria Wood?
Yes, there is. Yeah, I talked to the author yesterday. I found myself feeling very sad, though, talking about her, because it's sort of still unbelievable to me. But I'm forever grateful to her for, you know, giving me such wonderful parts.
I always remember Richard Stone for a while was her agent who lived on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, that's right.
And he rang me up one Saturday lunchtime and he said, John, could you get down to my house within an hour? And I said, yes, why? He said, Victoria Wood's here on a private visit, but she doesn't mind talking to you. So we flew down and she was such a charming lady.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I've just remembered, actually, when I had my son Angus, she came over to say hello.
Tell me how old Angus is now.
And he's 24.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite tall, isn't he?
Quite tall, and he's a film star.
Is he?
Yes. He's in a very wonderful film called The Kid Who Would Be King, and he plays it's a modern-day take on King Arthur and Excalibur, the young King Arthur.
Yes.
Played by Andy Serkis's son, Louis. And Angus plays the young Merlin, and Sir Patrick Stewart plays the older Merlin.
Wow.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful film.
I bet you're thrilled, don't
I'm
you, really?
I'm so proud. Mm.
Did you want him to go into the business, did you?
Well, I'll never forget, funnily enough, seeing him in a school play.
Right.
It was Sweeney Todd. And bizarrely, there was the character of Queen Victoria, which I can't quite remember how that came into it. But anyway, I was doing Acorn Antiques, the musical, at the time, so I wasn't able to see the show at night, and I asked one of the teachers if I could watch a dress rehearsal. So I sat there in the dark, and the little boys were only about 10 or 11, and they were doing very well, and they were singing and everything else. And then I heard a sort of rustling behind me, and I turned around, and I saw a figure in a black dress with a pearl necklace and little lipstick, and I thought, oh, how sweet. I thought, hold on a second. I turned round and it was Angus.
Was it?
Dressed up as Queen Victoria. And he marched down to the to the front of the stage and was bossing everybody about. And I thought, that's it.
Yes.
So I'm very proud of him.
We talked about Victoria Wood and Dinner Ladies. That was a wonderful series, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
You're always rushing around with that clipboard, weren't
I know,
you?
I know. Yeah. Rushing in and out.
Yeah. And, of course, Calendar Girls. We must just mention Calendar Girls.
Mm.
And such a hit movie, wasn't it?
Well, the whole idea, I mean, from the beginning of those wonderful women who thought of it, I mean, what a lot of good they've done in the world.
Yes.
For women and for cancer and everything.
Yeah.
So really the only time, John, that I felt I'm glad I'm the age that I was then. Because actually if I'd been any younger, it wouldn't have worked.
No.
Because
no.
we had to be of a certain age.
Yes.
Otherwise it wouldn't have been so truthful. Because that was the whole bravery of the women,
yes.
actually, in a way. So yes, I'm thrilled.
When my wife was alive, we saw the movie, and when we used to be shopping on a Friday in Sainsbury's, she'd say, shall we have a couple of Sheila Imrys for lunch? It meant ice buns, of course.
Sweet. I hope you did.
Yes, we did.
Good.
I think I came to see you on the Isle of Wight when the movie was shown at the cinema on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, yes.
I think you rang me up to say, would I like to come and chat to you?
That's right, yes.
Because you had one of the buns in your office at that time, but you probably haven't got it anymore.
<have
you>?
No.
And I love the riffraff element. That was another...
Oh, yes, so did I. And funnily enough, anybody who watched it absolutely loved it. And it went for two series only.
But it's now out on DVD, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, I've got it.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was a rather marvellous moment. You say, is it nice when you meet up with people? Well, of course, Ronald Pickup was in that.
Oh.
And we
I
went
love
to
Ronald.
India together.
Yes, you did. Mm. He's such a nice man. I love him.
Lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So that was just another, well, all your movies have been really successful, haven't they? What We Did on Our Holidays, I like that one too.
I loved that one
yeah,
too. It was not really given enough praise, I don't think. I thought it was absolutely charming, actually.
There's a lot of British films, Celia, that have come out in recent years that are really good movies, aren't there?
Mm.
Nanny McPhee.
Oh, one of my favourites.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's, well, people of all ages love that movie, don't they?
Mm. No, it's great.
Do you find you get recognised a lot for that movie? Or?
Yes, well, sometimes. And I'll catch a child looking at me and sort of in a rather sort of worried way because I think they think I'm going to sort of break their toys or be rather horrible, which I was, actually. But it's great fun being horrible.
Yes. Celia, another movie we haven't talked about is called Finding Your Feet.
That's right, yes.
Tell me a wee bit about that one.
Well, I have the great fortune of playing Imelda Staunton's sister, and it's about my great love dancing, really. And, you know, not obviously not ballet, but just the joy of dancing when you're of a certain age and how it can sort of... I mean, don't ask me to go to a gym, I'm afraid, John. It's my least favourite thing to do. However, to dance, you know, wherever you are, and particularly at a certain age, it brings you great joy. And so in the story, I go to a dance class and I manage to persuade my sister to come and join. And then we danced in Piccadilly Circus one night.
Did you?
Yes, in the rain. It was rather wonderful. And then we were invited in the story to go to Rome to be part of a dancing festival. So it's a very joyful film. Joanna Lumley's in it, Timothy Spall's in it. So I think you'd enjoy it, actually.
I would do.
It's a very uplifting film. And you mentioned Elke Brooks a minute ago, coming to the Isle of Wight. She, I think I'm right in saying, sang the beautiful theme tune at the end, Taking a Leap of Faith.
You did some cabaret work, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Did you like that?
It's very frightening. In fact, I did it at Southampton, where I'm going very soon.
We ought to plug that one. Do you remember the date?
Yes, March the 28th.
At the new Nuffield City Centre Theatre.
That's right.
Which is a wonderful venue.
Yes, and that's, funnily enough, where I did my cabaret last.
Right.
I came off the Queen Mary and went straight, because it was a fundraiser for the theatre then, because I'm a patron.
Yes.
So... I'd do anything.
I know, I spoke to you before the cabaret and you were a bit apprehensive, but obviously it worked.
Mm. No, it was a daring thing to do, but then you've got to dare, I think.
Oh, yes. So you talked about the south of France and you sort of go there quite as much as you can, do you?
Yeah, as much as I can.
Right, let's talk about one or two things coming up then, because I know you've, well, you've got one or two USA things coming up. Shaw Adam.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes. Do you know, I haven't seen these films yet. They're quite short films, and I don't know how much they get into the English cinemas. I mean, probably if there was a festival, they would, but I'm not sure otherwise, because they're not feature films, you know, they're shorts.
Love, Sarah is about a bakery, isn't it?
That's right. Yes, we've just finished.
Have you? Mm. Is that a British production?
Yes. Yes, but German money, because the very attractive director, very young, young girl, Eliza, is German. So she's managed to get money, I think, in post-production for the film, because it's astonishing, actually, how much money you need to make a film. And actually, I've been very... honoured this year to be invited to become an Academy member.
Have you?
Which means that you get sent all the films to vote for the Oscars, which I did. I mean, truthfully, I didn't have quite enough time to watch them all because it's enormous. I was astonished to realise how many films are made. You can't say cinema's dead. It's not. Films are being made all the time, and they do cost an enormous amount of money.
So that's a one-off TV or
no,
is it
No, it's
going to
be a feature film.
Oh, a feature film.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have.
Did
yes,
you like it?
I did.
So did I. I thought
yes.
It was fantastic.
Wonderful.
It deserved a lot of Oscars, really, didn't it?
No, it's marvellous.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you've done so many things, haven't you? You've always got some sort of ambition. What would you like to do you haven't done?
Oh, goodness. Well, there's still so much, really. I love to be surprised, and I love to surprise people, too. Try and do something very different to the last thing I did. It's an interesting thing when I talk to young actors, and I would never put anyone off because it's a wonderful life, but you've got to not mind not knowing what comes next. I rather love that, but you aren't exactly in control. I can't go down to the National Theatre now and say, I want to play Hedda Gabler. It doesn't work like that. So you have to, as I say in The Happy Hoofer, you have to wait to be asked to dance, and that can be quite tricky. So there's lots of things I want to do, but as different as possible to the last thing.
John Hannam, can't cook, won't cook, but what a sexy voice.
This one-off show you're doing at Southampton, are you going to do a series of those? Or
no, as a matter of fact, I'm in very good company. Dame Harriet Walter is doing one, and I think David Suchet. So as far as I know, it's us three at the moment. And I'm going to be interviewed by my very good friend Fidelis Morgan.
Oh, yes. Does she still live on the island or not?
No, she doesn't either. But I still have a very beautiful house, if anybody's looking to find a beautiful house in West Cowes. That is on the market to be sold.
I must say, it's a lovely house.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. It was even better for me sat there one day with you eating chocolate.
Did you?
Cakes.
Oh,
you...
chocolate cakes. Did I make them?
Yes, you did, yes.
Oh, good.
You bought me a present today. I'm very excited.
Yes. Not homemade, I'm afraid.
No,
it's homemade by someone else, but not me.
I must have told you years ago I love sweet things and all that sort of stuff.
Ah, well, this isn't sweet, I'm afraid,
oh,
John.
Oh, it's all right. I'm going to wait till I get home. So, any adventures you'd like to do? Anywhere you'd like to go where you've never been? Or
Yes, I remember my darling mother saying to be well-read or well-travelled is a very, very good idea, and I agree with her. I'm a very slow reader, but I absolutely love to travel. And there are many places I still want to go to. And, you know, in my work, I mean, the first time I ever went abroad was to Australia with Glenda Jackson.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I've been to so many different places and wonderful places in England as well that I'd never been to before. I'm quite interested to go to Russia to see the ballet because that's my great passion. And also, I think I would love to go to see China and or Japan. I don't know when I'll be able to, but... And I also want to see the Northern Lights one day. I've tried, but no dice. There was too much cloud.
You wanted to be a ballet dancer, didn't
you? Oh, yes. Yes. Very much. But I doubt I'd still be doing it.
I was going to say, you chose a career where you can go on and on, can't you?
Exactly.
You've worked a lot with Dame Judy, haven't you?
Yes. I first worked with her at the National in a play called The Sea. And then, actually in Cranford... We worked together, which
series.
Has just been on again, I believe, and also in India, yes. So I'm very lucky.
And I bet she's a lovely lady, isn't she?
Oh, she is, of course. Everybody loves her. Everybody's in love with her.
I always think, Celia, the bigger the star, the nicer the person.
Well, do you know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't really like the fact that the public think we all are nicknamed lovies. The reason for that, I think, is that we meet so many different people in our work. So the shortcut to that is that we call everybody darling. Now, I don't think that matters because it's a term of endearment and it stops you having to think of their name. But truly, I can't really think of somebody who isn't lovely in our profession because, you know, we all have to get on with each other. There's no point not. We're a team, generally. I mean, it's only... sort of in a cabaret or a one-woman show I did once called Unsuspecting Susan, when it was only me on stage. But nevertheless, there was a team behind me, you know. So I really couldn't be able to give you a name of somebody who wasn't lovely.
I went to the home of the late Sir John Mills, and I was in awe of him.
Yes.
I tried not to show it, but he was such a perfect gentleman, and he'd been, you know, hundreds of movies, it seemed.
Oscar winner,
yeah. I always remember he said he won an Oscar and he was deaf and dumb in it. And he said to me, we filmed it in Ireland, and he said, I had no words to learn. And he said, well, they were learning their words every night. I was sat in a pub drinking Guinness.
Of course, who wouldn't?
But he had to study, obviously, the role before he did it. But he was amazing in wasn't he?
He was.
Let's just go back to the Isle of Wight. And we met a long, long time ago. But what drew you to the Isle of Wight in the first case, Celia, really?
The sea.
Just the sea?
Really.
Yeah.
And also, I suppose, you know, you have to make that journey across the water. So when people come, they really want to come to see you, which, you know, is lovely. And also, I suppose it's sort of a little bit going back in time, isn't it? It has such a charm. And it will always have a very special place in my heart. And Angus was born.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
I thought that meant that he could be called a corkhead, but apparently somebody's told me not.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. I thought that was the whole point.
I remember coming to your house when you had the house in St Mary's Road.
Ah, yes.
And seeing Angus probably in a cot or whatever when he was very, very tiny.
Yes.
Yeah. He's 24.
Now he's 24, I know.
Golly.
With his own baby, by the way.
Really?
I'm a grandmother now.
Gosh.
I know.
Are you?
Yes.
As we speak, I could be a granddad within about two or three days.
You said.
Twin boys. Could be. My son and his wife, yeah.
Fantastic.
So. You did literary tours too. I came on one of those on the Isle of Wight, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
They were fascinating.
Weren't they?
You took a coach load of people around the Isle of Wight.
That's right.
And you pointed out various locations.
Well, I must give the whole credit to Fidelis Morgan, my friend, actually. She worked it all out. She worked out all the famous people who'd come to live on the Isle of Wight, even just for a little while. So many writers and painters and musicians. I mean, it's astonishing how many there were. And I found it fascinating, actually, as did everybody who came on it.
I always remember I came on it and I had a Sunday lunchtime show to do live, and I came on part of the way. Then I think I got the bus back to Newport to do the show.
You had to,
but it was a really good, good trip.
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah. So let's hope you sell your house then, Celia.
I know. Well, I hope it goes to somebody who really loves it, because it's such a pretty house in West Cowes.
But you've made a lot of friends on the Isle of Wight, and you used to, I always remember, you used to go in small shops and do your shopping, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Which is lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
Yes. No, as I say, there was a moment, well, I'm sure you get it too, when you just sit on the boat, whether it's the big ferry or the little hydrofoil, and your shoulders go down.
I know.
And it's just bliss.
Mine will when I go back in an hour or two's time.
Mm.
So, plug again your event at the Nuffield City Centre Theatre, which I've been to a few times, and
yes.
It's right in the centre of Southampton. It's so easy to get to.
I know. Well, I don't know what number I am, but I know I'm in company of Dame Harriet Walter and David Suchet. I know there's the three of us doing it on different nights.
Mm.
My night is Thursday, March the 28th. I'm being interviewed by my good friend Fidelis Morgan, who knows all my stories. and I think it begins at, it's either 7 or 7:30. But it's only for an hour, I believe. But hopefully we'll have a laugh and I'll tell some secrets and some funny stories.
The first time I met you, I think Fidelis was there. Three of you came to Binstead Community Centre. I think you were giving out some Badminton Awards or something. Do you remember?
Yes.
That's when we first met.
That's right. But wasn't it for deaf children or something?
I think it was.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe the gentleman who asked me to come had come to install my telephone or something.
Ah. His name was Fred Smith.
Yes.
He was a great fan of yours.
Yes, yes.
He got very excited when you turned up.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all did.
Well, it was a great honour.
Do you know what? It's a pleasure to have known you for so long. We've been friends for a long time.
I know.
And I've brought you a little present.
Oh, my goodness.
You're in my latest book, so...
That I'm so thrilled.
That was the first picture we ever took of you on the cover. That was... That was
at taken... Winston?
Yes.
Rather a long time ago, but who cares? It doesn't matter. We're still young at heart, aren't
we? Thank you for being a good sport, because I know you've only flown back from France in the last couple of days.
Trained back. I don't fly if I can help it.
Don't you?
No, hate it.
What's the train like? Good?
Marvellous. The French trains are wonderful. They're so smooth and fast and luxurious. Mm.
So, Celia, I wish your career continued success.
Thank you very much.
So many people love your acting, and congratulations on being so good for so many years.
Well, I'm very lucky to do something I love so much.
And what I like about you, Celia Imrie, is you're quite modest as well, which is which in an industry where there's a few that are not very modest, I think you've done awfully well.
I think I've got that from my dear father, actually. He was too. But anyway, John, it's been absolutely lovely. And here's to the next time.
Hope so, yes.
You bet.
And send
see you on March the 20th.
Oh, yes. I'm coming.
You'll be there.
And give my regards to Angus as well.
I will. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
So I'm looking forward to watching him in movies then.
You bet.
Who is it?
Who's who?
Him.
Who?
John Amum.
John Amum.
John
Amum.
John Amum.
John Annanum.
And never mind that. Hey, rock on, Johnny.
Hey, see you soon, Johnny, baby.
John Annanum meets on I Love White Radio.
Grateful thanks to Celia Imrie. And the very next day, I went out and bought a copy of the movie Finding Your Feet on DVD. And I loved it. I also cried. But I won't tell you why. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.